I've talked with three different people recently who told me when I finally got my COVID vaccine, I just burst into tears, just began sobbing right there. And I was not expecting that. Part of it was just releasing all this tension of living for over a year with chronic fear of getting sick, fear of getting others sick. All the isolation, feeling cooped up, family squabbles over masks, a year of wanting to hug loved ones and not being able to, trips you had to cancel. So it was like finally, when this injection came, it's like all that melted away. They said, I feel like I'm getting my life back. Well, what we've all experienced this year, friends, as COVID forced us into lockdown in this strange world we've been living in, is in many ways the death of dreams. For Karen and I, for example, we have three different family members who were dreaming of large weddings with lots of friends, lots of family, lots of fun, lots of dancing at the reception. And they had to scale back and reschedule. Fewer people, less fun, all masked. And that's the kind of thing that we've all experienced. And so I want to talk tonight with that as kind of an analogy of something that we all experience in life. We have a dream and it cannot be fulfilled. It dies. It is not realized in some way. I think one of the hardest things we deal with in life is the death of a dream. Maybe it would for you, it was the relationship that you thought would work out, would continue forever, and it doesn't. Maybe it was a child that you longed for and there was a miscarriage, or maybe it was a job that you dreamed of getting and it went to somebody else. There's been one time in my life where I pretty much begged for a job. I didn't get it. When you and I find ourselves in that position, what does Jesus offer? What does Jesus bring to the person who is experiencing the death of a dream? You and I here tonight, most of us I know, we follow him. Is it any different for us? Well, to answer that question, I want us tonight to follow two people who had their dreams die and then who encountered Christ and see what happens with them. These two people actually run into each other. If you would turn to Acts 3, the first reading tonight, read by Ellen, it says in verse 1 that Peter and John, the two followers of Christ, went up to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, there was a man lame from birth. Let's just pause there. A man lame from birth. You talk about the death of a dream. This guy has never taken one step in his life. When he was a toddler, he was not able to make those first beautiful lurching steps across the living room floor to the waiting arms of his mother or father and to the claps and applause and smiles for making those steps. And then when it's school age, when other kids are running around the playground, he's sitting on the edge in the dirt, maybe feeling like dirt. And as a teenager, as boys and girls started to notice each other, he noticed the girls, but they walked right on by him. And as a young man, when people came into their own careers and began feeling competent and successful, he didn't. If you can't stand, you can't farm, you can't fish. And so his job for life was this, verse 2, being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. This is a high traffic area. And if you've been in a city with homeless people, including Wheaton, you know that many of them kind of have their corner. They stake out a certain section where they will sit and ask for money. And this guy is doing that. He's showing up for one more day's work as a beggar. And when he saw, verse 3, Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Have you had a dream die like this man because of a physical limitation? I know many of you have or are living with that right now. Well, meanwhile, Peter, the man that this beggar is asking for money, is coming off of his own death of a dream. Not one caused by like an outside genetic anomaly, but by his own collapse and failure to be the person he really wanted to be. 2 months earlier, as many of you will know, Peter had been one of the very closest people to his rabbi, Jesus. And Jesus said this. He said, "Tonight, all of you will desert me. You'll abandon me." And Peter corrects him. "Look, even if everyone deserts you, I will never desert you. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." Peter has this dream. He's going to stay loyal. He's going to be a hero for this man, Jesus, that he loves so much. He's going to, if he has to be, he'll be a martyr. But he's going to do something for Jesus that will be strong and reliable and solid and to the end, something that will be remembered forever. Well, within hours of that, all of that dream dies. It dies in the moment that Peter swears this out loud: "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know that man, Jesus." And he hears a rooster crow. And the Bible tells us that right then the Lord Jesus turned and looks at Peter. And Peter knows that that was the last time I saw him alive. He was looking at me, knowing I had just done what I swore I would never do. How many of you have had a dream die like Peter's, where it was partly at least because of something you did or you meant to do and you didn't, and you couldn't, and you blew it? This is a part of the Christian life that does not get talked about much. Well, as we all know, though, there began to be reports a few days later that Jesus was no longer in the burial cave where he had been safely put away. And then Peter met Jesus. Jesus met Peter alone, one-on-one. We don't know much about that meeting, but we do know about another one they had where Jesus includes him. Jesus says to Peter, "I build my church on you." And he recommissions him and says, "Feed my sheep, follow me." Now that amazing grace has done something inside Peter. And so now we're back 2 months later to the day that he's walking up to the temple and meets this beggar. And so when the beggar looks up to him and says, "Hey man, you got some money, you got some cash, can you spare me a buck?" Peter and John look at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. Now most people, even those rushing by who throw in a buck, don't really look a needy person in the eye. Happens all the time in Chicago if you walk from Ogilvie train station to the Loop. People, they're just the project, that homeless person sitting on the sidewalk. But Peter sees him as a person. And I wonder if Peter sees him as a person because he knows what it's been like to live with a dream that died. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you. I don't have cash on me, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Nobody has ever said this to this man who's been sitting there for years. Then Peter took the lame man by his right hand to the lame man's right hand and helps him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed. Muscles that were atrophied from years of misuse and disuse were strengthened. And he jumps up, stands on his feet, and begins to walk. Walk around the little blanket he's sitting on, walk around the little dish he's been getting coins thrown into, and then walking and jumping up and down and doing jumping jacks, he goes into the temple with them praising God. Always before, he's been the guy sitting. Now he's standing on new legs. Always before, he was the guy who couldn't move. Now he's the guy jumping up and down. Always before, he's been the guy left outside watching everybody else go in to worship Yahweh. And now he's going in with them. It's amazing. We learn later in this story that this guy's had this condition for over 40 years. But if Jesus the Nazarene, who just 2 months ago died and then came back again, if he can walk out of a gravesite, then definitely a guy with a disability can walk on legs that he hasn't used. Since Jesus rose from the dead, he has the power, the authority to raise up people whose dreams have died. The risen Jesus can do what we cannot do. And he loves to restore us when our dreams have died. Now, I'll be honest, miracles don't happen as often as I wish they would. If they did, they would be called normals. But before we think, yeah, that was then, Jesus got out of the miracle business. He doesn't do stuff that big anymore. I want to tell you the story about this young man named Thad. I'll tell you how I got to know of him. A close friend of mine was dating his mother, Monica, who lives out west. And I didn't get to know Monica well, but I did talk with her once. And here was her situation. When her younger son, Thad, was in his late 20s, he was, like so many young men in their late 20s, healthy as a horse. And he noticed, though, that his legs were starting to swell. And they began to become painful. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctors ran various tests. And it turns out they found out he had cancer, not only here in his legs, but in multiple places within his body. Very serious. And so Thad underwent chemo. And then he began going into the hospital for a surgery where they would remove where a part of an organ or all of an organ where cancer had spread. And this went on for 4 years in the hospital, out of the hospital, surgery, surgery, surgery. And with all this going on in her son's life, the pressure and the stress of that drove Monica, who had not been in church, to start going to church. And there, during that season of her son's trials, she became a believer in Christ. Anyway, things got worse for Thad. And finally, one day, when he was in the hospital being operated on, the surgeons opened him up, saw what was going on, and closed him right back up. And they said, "Thad, there is nothing more medically that we can do for you. The cancer has spread too far, too expansively, and we believe you may only have a few weeks to live." So they took him home, and his mother, Monica, began to pray. And the 2 weeks came by and went, and her son, much to her surprise, was still alive. And so she kept on praying, and 2 weeks later, he was still alive. At this point, they checked in with the oncologist, and he's like, well, let's run some tests and try to understand what's going on here. And when they did, Thad was completely cancer-free. Now, that was 12 years ago. He still lives with some complications because of the surgery on various organs that were done over those years. But he is alive. He is married. He has a couple of kids. And when they saw what happened to their brother, Thad's sister and her whole family came to be believers in Jesus Christ. And then his older brother and his whole family came to be believers in Jesus Christ. The risen Jesus can do what we cannot. And he loves to restore people whose dreams have died. Now notice, when Jesus restores this guy who's been disabled for 40 years, it's not like he makes those 40 years disappear. He doesn't rewind the tape. They happened. But they are not the final word. Jesus gives this guy whose dream has died a fresh start, a new start. And that's what he does for Peter. Peter truly thinks it's over. Jesus is dead. I failed. I will never have a chance to make that up to him. And I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. But the risen Jesus gives Peter a new start. Before, he was Peter, the guy who promised he'd be big and loyal and strong and courageous. And he denies. And now he can. And why? Because he's afraid of being arrested. I actually understand Peter. But now he cannot stop talking about Jesus in public, knowing full well he will get arrested. Look at these. Let's look at verse, 13 of his sermon when he's explaining how this man was healed. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who's brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this and violating all. Now here Peter goes on a tear and just gets up in their face with his sermon. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and you rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of this fact. The coward is now courageous. And sure enough, he gets arrested. Acts 4. Verse 1 says, when Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. They arrested them and put them in jail. Do you see what has happened in Peter's life over these months? The risen Jesus can do in Peter what Peter cannot do on his own. And so here on this one day up at the temple in Jerusalem, there are two people who are dramatically restored by the risen Jesus. One is a person with a disability since the day he was born. And through the risen Jesus, he receives a healing he never could have imagined was possible. And then number two is Peter, who right now is boldly healing, boldly preaching, because through the risen Jesus, he has become the kind of person he always wanted to be. And you know what? I honestly don't know which of these is the greater miracle, the transformation of the body or the transformation of the character and the soul. Now, friends, what do you and I do with this amazing truth that when Jesus rises from the dead, he brings up with him our dreams that have died? We know, do we not, that not all healings come now. Yours instead may come on the day when Jesus returns to make all things new. That's probably when my healing from Parkinson's will come. And it may well be that right now your death of a dream is so fresh, you're so much in pain over it that right now you cannot pray about it. And you know what? I just want to say as your pastor, that's okay. That's okay. Ask some friends to carry that praying for you. While you cannot. But maybe you will begin to pray before you even suspect you could, and maybe tonight will help open you up to that. And when you do, just turn yourself, look up like the beggar looked up to Peter, and just turn your gaze up on the risen Jesus Christ and ask for the faith to believe that through the power of the risen Christ, there can be a meaningful life beyond the dream that has died. Because yes, it is true that dreams die, but it is true that Jesus Christ arose from the dead and he has the power to restore you and restore me when our dreams have died. Jesus restores all things. And in his scarred hands, he holds out hope. He will put back into you purpose. Jesus takes the dreams we discard and he recycles them into a road that we can walk upon. Last fall, I was out jogging, which I have to do for my Parkinson's, and it was a gray day. It was kind of wintry and cold, and I didn't want to be out running. And I was feeling some self-pity about that. And on my running earbuds, I was listening to a sermon by another preacher. And in that sermon, the preacher started telling a story, and I actually stopped running because I realized the story was about a person I know, a person named Kevin Martin. And the other Kevin Martin and I had been part of this advisory board for several years together, and we'd met in a lot of hotel meeting rooms and had conferences and drawn things together up on whiteboards. And so that completely grabbed my attention. And I came home and wrote down that story, and I'd love to share it with you. Here it is. Kevin Martin was a minister at a massive church, one of those well-known churches that gets a lot of admiration. And it was also, though, one of those churches where it got too burdensome. The administrative machine ate him up, and his world blackened with depression. At one point, he became so depressed, so crushed, that he hastily wrote out a letter to his board, immediately resigning from his office. And then he wrote a letter to his wife and his children saying, "I will never see you again." He got into his Buick and he drove from Texas to Newfoundland, Canada, without anybody knowing where he was. And there in a foreign land for him, he got a job as a logger. It was winter, and he lived in a small metal trailer that was heated at night by a small heater. Kind of like those small metal space heaters you and I may have in a den or a basement. And one night when it was 20 below outside, the heater stops working. And in a rage, Kevin Martin goes over to that heater, picks it up with both hands, and chucks it out of the window of that little trailer. And then he realizes, oh, that was a stupid thing to do. It's 20 below. And he throws himself on the ground and starts pounding the floor of this small metal trailer. And as he's pounding on the floor, he is yelling out to heaven, "I hate you. I hate you. Get out of my life. I am done with the Christian game. It is over." And he went into a fetal position. And Kevin says, "I was too exhausted to cry. But as I laid there, I began to hear crying and then heaving breaths, and I realized they're not coming from me." And he says, "It's as if I heard Christ crying and heaving away on the cross, and then I knew the blood was for me. It was for me, Kevin Martin, the abandoner, the reckless wanderer, the blasphemer of heaven." And the words rose up all around me, "Kevin, I am with you. I am for you. And you will get through this. I promise you." With those words still in his head and his heart, he got to his feet. He went out into his car and started back home. And there he reconciled with his family and with his church. And then he went on to lead that church in a new way, a healthy way. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he has the power to raise up people whose dreams have died. Amen.